You're listening to the Build Assets Online Podcast. Learn how you can build a diverse and sustainable income online from two brothers who actually do it. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Joe.
Mike, check, 1, 2. Today, we're going to talk about 5 tips for you. 69,000 in one day. We're going to show you the way. Mike and Joe, buildassetsonline.com. What's going on? In today's episode, we're going to give you 5 tips to make $69,231.67 in one day with high-ticket dropshipping. Mike, that's a new record that we set. Pull up the screenshot, Nick, for the audience. You don't have to do it now, but let's get into the episode.
Well, to clarify, I don't think it is a new record, but it is a good number. It's nothing to sneeze at, as we like to say. So whether it's a record, whether it's not a record, everyone gets a participation trophy, including us, and I think it was a particularly good day. But yeah, we're going to talk about 5 ways that you can achieve similar results. 5 tips for your high-ticket drop shipping store. It's a mouthful. And if you're not doing these, it's probably why you're not getting this level of results.
And after the 5 tips, we're going to get into a very special segment as to why conversion rate doesn't matter. So be sure to stick around for that. Very important. A lot of people are hung up on this, but we're going to talk about it and clear the air. They say, that cliche. So number one tip is you have to increase your ad spend tactfully. How should someone increase their ad spend in a way that's going to get them to this amount of sales in one day?
Well, I can't give that exact answer, but what I can say is someone may be operating a store that is making $69,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're spending $5,000 a month to get there. That's reasonable, between mm-hmm. $5,000 and $10,000 a month. So, inherently, you can assume if you increase your ad spend by 30 times, you should be able to get $69,000 in sales a day. So, that's a general heuristic for advertising. And obviously, it's not an easy thing to do, but it is generally the path forward.
Now, Mike, we're obviously talking about Google ads here. We don't do that social media nonsense on this channel. But so, Mike, you know, we talk about in other episodes, we talked about how you don't have to spend that much to convert on easy to convert on long tail terms. And if you're increasing your ad spend, say you're selling movie theater seating, for example, you know, you might be able to convert easily for maybe specific colors, specific brands. But when you're increasing your ad spend 30 times, you're going to have to be getting into areas where it's not so much bottom of the funnel. You're getting more towards the top of the funnel. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Right. So obviously, there's not going to be just branded keywords that automatically scale and you can go from 1,000 visitors a month, just, you know, a large percentage of those being branded, to 100,000 visitors a month mm-hmm. and them being branded. And when we say branded, we mean people are searching for the brand name, movie seating, stuff like that. So yes, you're going to have to go up the funnel, as they call it, and start going for terms like maybe red movie theater seating, or as you go up even further, just movie theater seating.
It's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of tongue twisters going on today. And so, you know, it's not like we do this amount every single day, but the only way that we're able to get to this number is by increasing the traffic. And so generally, once this happens, you're going to start seeing just more visitors coming, and it's going to be harder to get all of them to convert at the same rate as if you were just spending a little bit and they were all branded terms and stuff like that. But I don't want to give too much away about the bonus tip. So yeah, increase ad spend, but you have to do it tactfully. That has to be your number one goal if you want to get to these amount of sales in a day.
Right. So the next step is to supplement your ad spend with search engine optimization. And we were talking about this a bit yesterday, Mike. There's an interesting thing that I've really learned over the past year or so in search engine optimization. And you know, it's not like you have to go out and rank for like really competitive keywords. So if you want to go and rank for movie theater seating and you're selling movie theater seating, odds are that's probably not going to happen because the competition is so stiff. But the thing is, you probably don't want to rank for that anyway, because when you search for that, you're going to be getting all sorts of ads from Google. You're going to be getting images. So say even if you rank number 3, for movie theater seating, the click-through rate to your page is going to be very low. So there's no point in going after a super competitive keyword that you're not going to get many clicks for anyway, even if the search volume is high, because Google is really dominating these results with their own ads. So what you want to do is go after more informational terms that are higher up on the funnel, but, you know, not too high. But like, say we're talking about movie theater seating, you might want to do some sort of, you know, brand comparisons or questions about, you know, how do I fit movie theater seating in my house? Something like that. You kind of have to get creative and figure out what sort of things people are searching before they do that final search query where they're like, buy brand X movie theater seating.
Right. And that was what we found out was correct. If someone searches just AMC movie theater seating, then you trying to rank for that would be particularly difficult because there's going to be likely a lot of competition. But also, Google's going to want to show their paid results front right. and center. They're going to want to show the shopping results, the text ads. And so even if you rank number one or number two, you're still probably going to be below the fold and you're going to have a very low click-through rate. So it's not worth the investment to try and get that particular ranking. But if you do, say, AMC versus a different brand of movie theater seating, that's still relatively high intent. I would call that low to middle of the funnel in terms of the buying cycle, because someone knows that they want movie theater seating and they're just comparing two brands now. But when someone searches a keyword like that, that's more of an informational type query. So they're not going to show the shopping results. They're not going to show the text ads. They're probably not going to be text ads. So now you can show up number one and you're going to get a very, very high click-through rate. You're going to get a lot of traffic from that. Right. And that's also going to feed into your retargeting list for your ads.
Google is in a bit of a conundrum. And I want you to think about this whenever you do your SEO. When someone types something into Google, Google would love to show just ads, just shopping ads, just text ads. That's how they make money. But the thing is, when someone types in an informational keyword and there's no relevant ads for it, Google has to show the most relevant pages for that. And so that is where you want to come in. Those are the easiest places to come in. And that's where you're going to get a lot of customers, a lot of leads. And I think that leads us to the next tip, tip number three, which is to have a long email sequence. And Mike, talk about this a little bit, because this has to do with constantly staying in front of your customers. Because when you're doing SEO and someone comes to your page about an informational keyword, maybe they'll opt into your sequence. But just because they're opted in doesn't mean they're going to buy later necessarily if you're not emailing them.
Yeah, so this is all about the nurturing of the customer. And funny enough, for this day, I don't even think we sent out any emails. But that's not the point. The point is, once you have a bigger store and you're starting to get a lot of traffic.
Well, we do have emails going out.
Sorry. Yes. So that's what I'm going to get at. So it's not like we send out an email blast per se, but so we have a lot of ads running. We're spending a lot in ads. We have SEO going. And so we're getting a lot of traffic. And so now an emphasis needs to be put on actually capturing these leads and harnessing these leads. Because when you start out, we don't advise a lot of our students to put a whole lot of emphasis on creating, you know, a 90-day email sequence or something like that, because that's not their priority right now. Their priority is to get, you know, traffic up front, pay for the traffic, get the sales, and keep rolling from there. There's no point in just getting, you know, you have five people on your email list. You don't need to set up 90 days. But as you get going, this number becomes more and more significant, and so it definitely builds up over time. And yeah, maybe someone isn't ready to buy that day. Maybe they're not ready to buy next week. But as long as you're staying in front of them, you're creating all these touch points, then it is likely they're going to eventually come back to you when they are ready to buy.
Right.
And it's also gentle reminders of, you know, hey, come back to buy.
Yeah, these emails don't even have to be anything crazy or even anything, you know, specific about the products necessarily. That, like, you could tell stories in the emails, you know, you could just kind of do whatever you want. But the point is that
keep it even easier. Yeah. If you have all this SEO going, then just direct them to your articles.
There you go. Giving away too much on this episode, Mike.
Well, let's move on quick.
All right. So tip number four is to hire a salesperson, a sales individual. And, you know, this is pretty important because unless you are picking up the phone and answering every live chat, you got to have someone at the helm that's capable of guiding customers from landing on your site to the purchase.
Yeah, and so this is all in kind of order in terms of the most important steps or, you know, the sequence in which you would actually implement this. And so how are you going to increase your ad spend to where you're getting all these visitors a day, you're doing this SEO, you're going to write these emails, and you're still going to take the phone calls and do the sales? It's impossible. number one, there's not enough time in a day for you to actually get these things done. And number two, just the attention residue of having to, you know, you're trying to write this email for the email sequence. A call comes in. Now you got to talk to the call. Oh, another call comes in. Someone has an issue with their order. You're never going to get any of these things done.
Yeah.
So honestly, yeah, you need to be outsourcing that. And you're never going to want to spend the time to increase your traffic if you know that increasing the traffic is just going to create more calls and more headache and more time for yourself.
Right. So have someone that's capable of solidifying the sale, and it's going to free you up to kind of do all this other stuff above the list more effectively.
Right. And I would rather see people wait until they're making enough money and they've proven this to themselves, and then they go out and they hire someone that's maybe someone in the U.S. or someone that is really capable of doing a good job, because it's going to take a lot more off your plate than, say, going out and trying to hire someone overseas that may only be doing, you know, 60% of the job, or, you know, they're not going to do it as effectively. And so you're still going to be able to, or you're still going to have to be there and like kind of manage them a little bit. That's not what you want. You want to be making enough at this point to where you can actually hire someone and kind of pay enough so that they're going to be good enough to go and do their own thing and make their own decisions. And you'd be really surprised how much time that'll take off your hands.
Yeah. Tip number five, final tip before we get to the conversion rate discussion, is that you want to make your offer stand out. Now, you know, we prefer dealing with suppliers that have minimum advertised pricing. That's not always the case. That's not with every supplier. But in the case of minimum advertised pricing, you can't lower your price. So you need to do something else to make your offer stand out. And, you know, that could be a free ebook, a free something, you know, a bundle thing, a free product, you know, something that's related, a free accessory that's going to just, put more time into your pages that you're getting a lot of traffic to than your competitors. And we always talk about how it's so easy to outcompete Wayfair and Home Depot. And I was thinking, like, you know, even if you're selling something super generic, like a sofa, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? You can include like a sofa cleaner that you just get from Amazon or something, and you just send them that as a free gift.
Right.
And, you know, that can make all, you know, even if it doesn't make the difference with every customer and it gets you one extra customer a month for a $5,000 product, that's a pretty big thing. And there's lots of creative ways to do this, but I would say it's a pretty important last step.
Yeah, it's exactly like you said. Even if it gets you one extra sale of this $5,000 product and now you make an extra $800, I mean, think about how worth it that is just by adding some stupid little thing from Amazon that's related to the product.
Yeah.
And so the easiest way to do this is, yes, just find your winners, the products you sell the most, your products you like selling, and then really think about how you can make the offer stand out, whether it's through a free gift or even go on like ClickFunnels or something, not ClickFunnels, ClickBank. See if there's like a nice info product that you can just buy for them. Maybe it's $30 or whatever, and you'll have that, you know, it'll be cheaper for you because you'd be a ClickBank affiliate. But just something like that to make your offer stand out. You know, we read the book $100 Million Offers by Alex Hormozi, and I was particularly inspired to put this on the list.
Yeah,
because of that.
I don't know the legalities of doing that through ClickBank, but I think the spirit of what you're saying.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you could buy stuff for other people, but I think the spirit of what you're saying of, you know, maybe you see a good offer on ClickBank related to the thing, say it's like, you know, woodworking or sheds or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you can just use that as inspiration to make your own free gift.
Contact the person and, you know, you can always ask, but you get the idea. And also, I did read this book, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, which is basically all about negotiation. And this guy would like deal with hostages and stuff.
Yeah.
And basically he was saying by adding, I think you would call it like concessions, or everyone just wants to lower their price and lower their price and lower their price. But when you do something like add a free gift or something of that nature, you're basically telling them, all right, I'm at my lowest possible price, so I cannot go any lower in price, but I'm going to give you this.
Right.
So it's actually psychological as well to do that. And yeah, I think also by doing this, you're not going to have the same price as everyone else. Even if someone else has a free gift, you may have a different one. So it's making your offer a little bit unique.
Right. So now, before we end the video, let's talk about why conversion rate doesn't matter. And Mike, do we even look at our conversion rate?
Never.
Okay. But why? And so conversion rate is such a, I feel like an obsession with people who do online business. I was watching a few episodes of Shark Tank yesterday, and Mark Cuban just, conversion rate. He's just going crazy on this conversion rate.
Conversion rate of what?
I don't know. He's always just babbling about conversion rate and just Nothing he says makes sense when it comes to online marketing if you watch Shark Tank, but that's a whole separate discussion. But why does conversion rate not matter?
Okay, so think about everything we just said. Right. So we talked about increasing the traffic. We talked about doing the SEO. We talked about the email sequence. And we talked about adding a free gift. Logically, all these things should increase your conversion rate.
Right.
However, as we're going up the buyer funnel, we're not just getting these branded keywords anymore. We want to go up the buyer funnel as much as possible to get to the point where we're spending as much as possible to get a conversion at just to the amount that it's worth it for us.
Right.
So at the top of the funnel, if you're just advertising for movie theater seating, that may cost a certain amount. Or if you're just advertising for seating, right, that may cost a certain amount.
And so if you're selling movie theater seating, you know, and someone is looking for red movie theater seating and they type in red movie theater seating, that's going to have a higher conversion rate most likely because the person knows what they're looking for. But you also need to capture that higher traffic, the higher funnel traffic that's movie theater seating, and it's going to have a lower conversion rate.
Right.
So you need to get all this traffic at the end of the day, but it's not going to have the same conversion rate. And the higher you get in the funnel, the more it's going to lower your conversion rate. But it's not like you don't want that traffic.
Exactly, exactly. The higher you get in the buyer funnel, the lower your conversion rate is going to be. But that has nothing to do with your cost for a conversion.
Right.
If I can get one sale per million visitors, but it costs me, you know, $5 total to get those million visitors because I went viral on TikTok, whatever, I don't care. Oh, my conversion rate is so low.
Yeah.
It's whatever. I didn't spend that much money and I got a conversion.
We don't recommend trying to go viral on TikTok, but that's a good example.
Yeah.
I don't want people to get the wrong idea.
So it's not that you can't do things to try and get more sales out of your traffic, yeah, but you can't obsess over this conversion rate number as if it's something that you have to get a 1% conversion rate. You have to get a 2% conversion rate. All I care about is increasing the traffic.
Gotcha.
At a cost that I am happy with.
Gotcha. So in other words, you know, if you're selling a sofa, don't picture yourself in front of a sofa and do like a dance and saying like, this is why you should buy. And let's edit that out. I don't care. All right. Listen, guys, hope you've enjoyed this episode. Hope it was valuable to you. If you want to learn how we build $1 million in online assets with high ticket dropshipping as the core, as the starting point, as the main focus, go to buildassetsonline.com/playbook. Register for the free web class, and that's about it.
Take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the Build Assets Online podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating on whatever platform you might be listening from. And if you're ready to learn how to build your own online business portfolio, start now by visiting buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We'll see you in the next episode. We'll be right back.